It's August recess for Congress, and Senator Mark Begich is here to take your calls, and he will have a special guest. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Senator Begich is on the hot seat as the pressure's on to pass health care reform. We know what the House wants to do, but the Senate's plan is still under construction. Our number 1-800-478-8255, toll-free 478-TALK, email talk at APRN.org. Your calls for Senator Mark Begich are next on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
Tell Alaska, a telecommunications company proud to support public broadcasting, sharing the spirit of communications across the great land. Voice data and Wi-Fi technologies at Tell Alaska, on the web at tellalaska.com.
And by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
In his first appearance on Talk of Alaska since being elected, but he has been on previously, is Mark Begich, U.S. Senator. Well, welcome to Talk of Alaska, Mark.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on here. And I didn't realize that since the election, but we were on before.
Right.
I didn't realize that since the election. This is the first time. Well, I'm excited about it.
It's been a very busy Congress.
It has been. When you talk to people who've been there 20, 30 years and longer, some of the staffers especially, they've never seen this first 6 months as busy as it has been ever. I mean, they've never seen anything like this. And when you think of all the issues we've already dealt with, and then you pile on that two wars, an economy that was collapsing, and you put all that into the mix, it has been, you're absolutely right, very, very busy. But it's always a pleasure to be back here in decent weather, not 90-degree, 90% humidity. It's beautiful Alaska weather here.
Well, I'm glad to see that your guest has just walked in. But before I ask you to introduce him, I think I would like to just get one question in, and that is, are you going to be a blue dog or not?
The blue dogs are described over on the House side. On the Senate side, we consider ourselves moderate Democrats. We're concerned about, for example, the deficit and the debt that's growing and what we need to do to manage that. But we're also concerned about making sure that when we deal with legislation that it's a balanced approach. And so we consider ourselves more of as moderates. Blue dogs has their own brand over there, I guess. And basically almost three-quarters of the class of 08 of senators are moderate Democrats.
Well, it's good to have you here, and we are ready, open for business, for taking calls for Senator Mark Begich, and I'm clear there will be plenty. There always are when it comes to having a public office holder. Mark, I'd really like if you would introduce your guest. You brought a cabinet member from the Obama cabinet.
Absolutely. And Secretary Donovan is here with us today. He is Secretary of HUD, and he is a new member of the Obama administration. He's going to be here today in Anchorage, then Bethel and Hooper Bay, and get a pretty good experience about what Alaska's about, from a large city to a hub to a village. And we're very excited to have him here. Alaska has a lot of interactions with Housing and Urban Development Department. I know as a former mayor of Anchorage, it was one of those departments we worked with a great deal on urban blight and redevelopment. But because HUD has a different role, not just urban, but rural, they have a unique capacity for us here in Alaska. But it's just an honor to have the secretary here. He'll be joined by a few more secretaries today, tomorrow. And it's really, for Alaska, it's a great credentials to have this many up here at one time. And Secretary Donovan, if you want to say a few words, feel free. Then the way this show works, they'll get right to the questions, and they will have questions.
They do. It's a statewide show, Mr. Secretary, so you never know where the calls are going to come from. It could be the North Slope, it could be Ketchikan, somewhere in the interior, or one of the state's urban centers. But welcome to Talk of Alaska, Sean Donovan.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. And Senator, great to be traveling with you. As far as I know, this is the first time in the history of the state that we've had four cabinet secretaries together traveling like this.
That's correct.
Can't tell you how much I appreciate your great work on behalf of the state in Washington. We've already seen your expertise that you bring as a former mayor, knowing the issues, the real issues on the ground, how they affect people, how they affect people's lives. And so very much look forward to spending the day with you today and tomorrow and really getting a sense of your perspective and what we can do better in Washington to help you. You know, we're really focused on three things in this tour. This is part of a broader rural tour that the president has asked the cabinet to go on. And there are really three things that we're trying to do. One is to educate folks about what we're already doing to help communities, rural communities around the country to really get stronger. Today, I'm very excited to be announcing $132 million in Recovery Act funding that's going to go to Native American, Native Alaskan communities all over the country. That will bring a total of just HUD's funding to the state of Alaska to about $92.5 million, so a significant investment that we're making in communities. And one of the things I'm most excited about there is that particularly with some of the energy efficiency investments, investments around preventing homelessness, we're actually not just going to help families, we're also going to help bring down the costs to the federal government of future costs in these programs. The more we do energy efficient investments, we tend to make back the money on those investments in 3 to 5 years by cutting the utility bills for families and for the federal government. On homelessness, we prevent costs in healthcare, in a range of other places that the homeless tend to end up in, whether it's emergency rooms or other places. So these are smart investments that I think we're making in the state that are important. The second thing we're here to do is to listen. To make sure that we hear what better we could be doing, to learn from you, to learn from all of Alaskan families that we get to meet and talk with over the next couple days, to understand what we can do better. And then third, to go back, let the president know what we've heard, and to solve those problems, to work with you, other members of Congress, not just to listen, but to make sure that we solve those problems on the ground and make sure that we're delivering what the people demand of us in Washington, which is for real solutions for folks on the ground. So,
well, we're excited to have him here, and you see why now, that it's an opportunity for Washington, D.C. to hear a lot about Alaska needs, and it's a great plus. And as just mentioned by the Secretary, four cabinet secretaries at one time is historic for Alaska, so we're very excited about that.
You know, Secretary Donovan, I want to ask about that right off. Was there a cabinet meeting where they're doling out states and they say it comes to Alaska and everybody raises their hands? I mean, we've never had a turnout like this before.
Well, I would love to say that this was the most popular one, and certainly there was some clamor to get on the trip. But, you know, it's one of the hallmarks, I think, of the way that we're trying to work together in new ways as an administration is to coordinate across departments. Too often in Washington, it's easy to get lost in your own silo, so to speak. And, you know, you focus on housing or you focus on energy or you focus on transportation. But real solutions on the ground demand that we actually get out of those traditional boxes and start working together better. And that's been one of the great things about this rural tour and some of the other travel that we've done with the other cabinet secretaries is we each get ideas of how we can do our own jobs better, how make our agencies work better when we understand not just the housing problems that people face. I was on a Native American reservation with Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education. He went to a school. The thing he heard was our biggest problem attracting teachers is decent housing for those teachers. And so we've started an effort to figure out how we can bring together the housing resources we have to better serve teachers and to improve schools. That's just one example of the kind of coordination that these kind of travels, these kind of listening sessions that we're doing really help us to, you know, as I said before, to make real change happen on the ground, not just in Washington, you know, where we change the rules, but where it actually makes a difference on the ground.
Well, you're certainly going to hear the same concern about teacher housing.
That's
here,
right.
in the villages of Alaska, I'm sure. I understand, Mark, that they're going to Hooper Bay as well as
That's
Bethel.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, so that'll be...
Yeah, the goal is, you know, when I was campaigning, I heard a lot of folks say, you know, it's great when we have secretaries come, cabinet secretaries and others, but they usually go to the hubs, and then they kind of disembark out of that, and sometimes don't even get to the hubs. And what we're trying to do, as well as with this delegation of cabinet secretaries, at the end of this month, we'll have a delegation of United States senators in the same thing. We want to make sure that people that come to Alaska not only understand the urban setting, like Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, so forth, but also the hubs, Bethel, Kotzebue, so forth, but also the villages, like Hooper Bay. Because I think once they see that kind of cross-section, they understand the diversity of what Alaska is about, but also they get to understand the vastness of the state, and that's not just a skip and a hop over to the neighborhood. It's an actual a boat ride or a plane ride to that village.
Oh, you betcha. Well, your background, Secretary Donovan, is, I believe, in urban housing, right? I mean, you actually are a housing guy. You actually come out of the industry.
I'm a lifelong housing guy, in fact. I started even in college working at a homeless shelter and doing other work. And I've spent a lot of time, not only I worked in the nonprofit sector back in New York, which is my hometown, and so I know the urban issues pretty well, but I also worked in the private sector for a while, really understand how the lending business works, and worked all over the country, have done a lot of work in rural areas. I spent some time at HUD earlier in my career, and also some time as an academic studying housing. So I really have sort of seen housing from all sides. And even though I come from New York and I was the commissioner there for the last 5 years, I've also spent a lot of time working on national housing issues and have worked, even built houses one summer in a rural part of Virginia myself. So have spent a fair amount of time trying to understand the rural issues as well.
You and the agriculture secretary and the EPA head and several others put together recently this joint policy on sustainability, where you're going to actually look at coordinating, I guess, housing with transportation and so forth. Can you say a word about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, we have a lot of focus, and rightly so, whether it's in Recovery Act investments or in other areas, about making our buildings more energy efficient. About 40% of all the carbon emissions in the country come from buildings, about half of that from residential, half from commercial. And so we've got to do more to make our buildings more energy efficient. There's been some great work done here in Fairbanks and other places to try to get to a low-cost, energy-efficient home that could help us really lower energy costs in Alaska, which obviously, I don't need to tell you, the energy costs here are a dramatic factor in the affordability of housing. So making homes more efficient is very, very important. We have a real opportunity there. But at the same time, the average working family in this country spends 60% of their paycheck, 60% on a combination of housing and transportation. And one of the reasons for that is that we've done, I think, you know, not a good job, generally speaking, at figuring out where to locate housing so that it has good access to transportation and so that we can give people the choices they want. We hear more and more across the country about families that are sick and tired of spending, you know, an hour in the car getting home, not being with their families, and the costs, particularly with the spike in energy costs that we saw in the recent past. The costs are just overwhelming lots of families. And so giving folks the opportunity to live closer to where they work and figure out how to coordinate the investments that we're making in transportation with the investments we're making in housing makes a lot of sense. I was in Seattle yesterday and rode a new light rail system, which has opened up easy access to jobs downtown to a whole range of neighborhoods that never had that before. And so it's those kind of smart investments in the way that we coordinate them, whether it's in some communities, the kind of high-speed rail that's been, you've seen a lot of interest in around the country, or whether it's, you know, just local options that work in communities like in Alaska, where it may not be a light rail, it may be van service or carpooling or other things that are effective for the communities. We've got to do a better job of coordinating those with the housing investments so that we bring down the bills that families have in their transportation costs.
Gentlemen, if you're ready, we're ready to start taking the phone calls.
Go for it.
All right. Senator Mark Begich and Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Sean Donovan are the voices across the desk from me. Our telephone number, 1-800-478-8255 statewide. In Anchorage, a local call of 550-8422. And email is talk@APRN.org. And I've got an email and a call. Let's go first to the call. Nikos in Anchorage, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to welcome Secretary Donovan to Alaska and say hello to Mark Begich. You know, our whole family voted for you.
You're a good family. I know you guys.
Yeah. Well, he's a local boy, and welcome home, Mark.
Thank you.
I'm a tribal liaison at Alaska Intertribal Council, and you know, we've been distinctly documenting the, you know, high price of fuel in rural communities in Alaska, primarily in, you know, indigenous Alaska Native communities, and then coupled with a lot of the, you know, changing subsistence fishing patterns, we've had a real crisis the last few years, and I'm really glad that you're able to bring, you know, this historic meeting with the cabinet secretaries. In particular, I had two questions. One is with the federal relationship, recognizing the tribes in Alaska, you know, for government-to-government relations, I'm wondering if, Mark, if you'll be able to help set a better policy for Alaska. You know, the recent state administrations didn't recognize tribes, and I think this has been a huge stumbling block. The Alaska Intertribal Council played a big role with the flooding issues, you know, on the Yukon River recently, and we know that there needs to be a lot better coordination between the tribes and the state on, say, for emergency services.
Okay, yeah. Can you get to your question there, Nikos?
You had any thoughts about
yes.
that? And then I also, the other question is, you had seven new pieces of legislation about the Arctic, and we're hoping that there'll be some sort of, you know, theme of government-to-government recognition
yes.
with the tribes. And I think that you're in an ideal position now, given the fact that almost half the tribes in the country are in Alaska.
Correct. Let me answer the two questions. First, on the second one, which in regards to climate change legislation, Arctic policy legislation that I brought forward the seven pieces on last Monday. Matter of fact, one of the pieces of legislation was on offshore oil and gas development, sharing the revenue. And one of the things I've added in there is not only to local communities, local governments, but also tribes, because I think there's a value and there's a resource that the tribes should share in. There's another piece of legislation I know Senator Dorgan is working on that I'm supportive of. It creates a grant program to allow resources to go to tribes for the purposes of doing public safety within the communities that they represent and within a certain radius of the area. Again, this is, I think, a good piece of legislation. I know the state of Alaska does not support it at this time. I think they're wrong in the sense that, as a former mayor, the best kind of crime fighting was bring it as local as you can, give the tools to the local governments, and they will have a greater impact. When I left the mayor's office, we had a 28-year low in crime in our community for that simple purpose of how we designed our program. And so the tribes will have a lot of input from me as well as back. So absolutely, those are two examples where I see the tribes as an important part of government-to-government relationship.
Nikos, I think that the administration is undecided. Echo Hawk was saying some interesting things this past week at that meeting out in Bethel. I think the administration hasn't really formulated exactly how it's going to do the government-to-government relationship, particularly in relation to Alaska. And, of course, there's a big conference coming up in the fall that probably that'll be addressed mm-hmm. at. Secretary Donovan?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, one of the things I've been really impressed with in the early discussions that I've had and reading a lot of the background on how the tribes have worked together in Alaska is that unlike what you see maybe for Indian tribes mm-hmm. In many other states, there's a lot of cooperation between tribes in Alaska, regional housing authorities that have made them not only much more effective, I think, at meeting the local solutions, bringing best practices to many of the villages, but also in allowing them to access resources that many other tribes don't know how to access, whether it's tax credits or lots of other funding that's available. And we've seen just in this competition that we're announcing the results of today, whereas about one-third of all applications were successful in our competition in Alaska, it was two-thirds of all applications that were successful. So I think it's a real sign of the kind of success that the tribes have had in working together between those individual governments and finding ways to make local solutions on the ground work. So I'm very excited to see the results of that in the funding that we're announcing today.
And that's so that was a competitive process, and the Alaska tribes did very well.
It's in fact, this is the largest competitive award that we've ever made in the history of HUD that we're announcing today, over $130 million nationwide. In total, what that means is that the tribes in Alaska will get about $40 million in formula funding out of the Recovery Act. And with the announcement today, you're talking about almost a similar amount, close to $40 million in competitive funding that will be available to the tribe. So they did very, very well in this competition. I think it's a good sign of the capacity here.
And just to echo that, I think as we know with the healthcare delivery system in Alaska through our tribal consortium, there are some really positive things that we are actually in the healthcare debate in Washington, D.C., we're using as examples because of what the hospital does here, for example, in the holistic medicine. It's not just about, you know, you come in with a headache, that's it, and out you go, but it's a more holistic approach. And the success rate is very high in making sure that patients are not ending up in the emergency room as their primary care, but they're actually going to preventive wellness and overall holistic medicine. So the tribes here, and I appreciate Secretary Donovan's acknowledgement because it is a very unique situation here that has been, you know, we've had our ups and downs, but at the end of the day, I think they have really made a huge impact. And just announcing these grants today is an example of how the tribes have really done a good job.
Nikos?
Well, Secretary Donovan, I would really like to say that Alaska Intertribal Council is available. We have an open door, and that the tribal governments have very distinct needs and have been underserved across Alaska, and a lot of other problems are wastewater treatment systems, clean water systems, and what we really need is a federal overview and a lot of significant input from the tribes. And you'll find a lot of capable people in tribal governments, and I'd invite you to take a longer look.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Nikos, for your call. I'd like to move on to Kelly, who joins the program from the North Slope. Kelly, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Good morning, Senator Begich.
How are you?
And Secretary Donovan.
Great to be with you this morning.
Yes, Kelly, you need to turn your radio down.
It is. I turned it off.
Oh, I see. We got some kind of echo here on the line. Well, go ahead, ask your question, and then we'll ask you to get off the line so we get rid of the echo.
Okay, because I wanted to ask Senator Begich from the housing point of view for housing urban development that during a presidency when, like, Obama was first voted into presidency, there's $916 billion that is awarded to the Native Americans for building for different areas in the United States. And how much is awarded to the people of the North Slope for building and housing urban development program in this area?
Well, let me answer this. I'm not sure the specifics to the North Slope borough area, but I will tell you this, that on the stimulus money that was just shy of $900 billion, Alaska has been, we estimate over the next 2 years of all the funding that will come in off of that in a variety of sources, not just housing, but clinics and other things will be about $1.4 billion. We have the highest per capita of the stimulus money in the nation, and I think we're doing very well in receiving those dollars. But the North Slope, and I don't know, I don't want to put the Secretary on the spot if he has that specific number, but I know Alaska has done well in receiving dollars throughout the state in regards to stimulus money and dollars that are available for economic recovery.
So, on the housing money in particular, call is right that we get there is about $1 billion a year. In the stimulus bill specifically, there was a $500 million investment for Native American housing across the country. And with the announcement that we're making today, the total for Alaska is almost $80 million out of that $500 million. So it is a substantial portion of that is going to Alaska. And as I said earlier, the tribes here have done very well on the competition. Two out of three of the applications were funded in that competition. So,
yeah. Kelly, we'll get back to you. There should be a breakdown available later that where we can analyze what goes to the North Slope and on
right.
like that. The secretary has a list here, but he's not going to know which villages are where. It's very hard to put. hard even for a veteran.
Yeah. And Kelly, if you want, maybe if not today, but tomorrow for sure, maybe checking with our office. And we should have a list at that point that we can tell you what areas.
All right, thanks. Let's go to Fairbanks now, and Karen joins the program from Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Karen.
Thank you. I wanted to ask the secretary and the senator about housing for seniors. Alaska has the second fastest aging population in the nation per capita, and so I'd like to know what programs HUD has so that seniors can age in place in their own homes, and also for constructing new universally designed housing that allows people to remain in their own community as they retire.
It's a great question, and this is a challenge that the nation is really facing. But as you rightly said, Alaska has a population that is aging. You're going to have a larger senior population than just about any other state, and so it's particularly crucial here. The most important effort that we have is we work with local nonprofit groups to build senior housing through a program we called Section 202. And I'm very happy that working with Senator Begich and with his colleagues in the Senate, we are looking at a significant increase in funding for that program. And so we need to do more to build senior housing. There's no question about it. But I think we also need to think of smart ways to go beyond that, whether it's providing what we call service coordinators in those buildings. Often what we see is that because of the way the system works, I talked a little bit earlier about how we don't cooperate enough as departments. Because of that, what we often see is that a senior who would like to stay in their home, would like to stay in their community, is too often forced to move into a nursing home or assisted living, often at a much higher cost, not just to them, but to Medicaid, to the federal programs as well. The more that we can provide what we call service coordinators that can help seniors stay in their homes, get the minimal amount of service that they need to stay in place, we can not only help them with a better quality of life, but we can actually reduce costs of Medicaid and Medicare and other programs at the same time. And that's why we've made a significant investment in service coordinators in our Section 202 buildings. It's a very important component of making sure we help seniors stay where they want to stay and have a better quality of life.
And if I can add to it, I remember as mayor, we utilized the 202 program with the private sector quite a bit. Actually, they were nonprofits, but they built them. And the idea was, in some cases, there were fourplexes, 6 and 8 unit facilities, very high quality. But one of the gaps, and I think the secretary just laid it out, was service coordinators. Because what happens is you want to make sure that when you develop that housing that they may need some slight services, but the coordinator will assist them, and that's a huge plus to the long-term development of senior housing. The other piece within the healthcare reform is the whole idea of home healthcare and making sure that's an important part of the equation. Again, ensuring that there are services available for those that may be in facilities like a 202 or staying in their own home, and how to make sure that they have the services available to them. One other piece, I know within HUD and other departments, there are programs for weatherization, which is important, home repair programs, because you do have seniors who are able to stay in their homes, but the cost of some of the pieces of the home are no longer affordable for them to maintain. Could be a bad roof, could be the windows are no longer energy efficient and their energy bills are going up. So I know the efforts that we did here in Anchorage as mayor and throughout the state through some of the dollars that are available, help make sure they're more livable homes and that they're affordable homes that they want to stay in, especially if they want to stay in their own home.
Yes, so thank you. Is there more, Karen?
I just was wondering about accessibility for people who are in their own, say, single-family house and just need to, you know, have better access to the front door, to the bathroom. Is there anything like that?
I shouldn't jump in, but I know CDBG money as well as in Anchorage, for example, we had a neighborhood program designed off of dollars to make housing more accessible. That comes, I think, out of HUD.
That's absolutely
funding.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And there are a range of efforts that we undertake, range of ways to fund that. But again, I think the most important point here on accessibility is that too often what we end up doing is rather than making, you know, spending $1,000 or a few thousand dollars making the kind of changes that are necessary to a home, we too often force people to make choices where they need to move into a nursing home or much more expensive alternatives. So these are, if we can make some smart investments like we're making through the recovery bill, whether it's on the weatherization side or the additional CDBG money. You heard the senator talk about Community Development Block Grant. There was a $1 billion investment in the recovery bill, in the community development block grant program. And we've seen a lot of localities. There's a lot of flexibility in that money. Mm-hmm. As a former mayor who did a great job here in Anchorage, Senator knows this, it just did a terrific job with that money. The flexibility allows you to do things like if you have $1,000 that's needed for a ramp or other kinds mm-hmm. of changes, you can do that very easily with the CDBG money, and it can often save money down the road.
And it's not only for residential-owned property when you do the ADA, adjustments to the home, it also can be for rental property. I know this for many people who are they want to be renters, but their home needs to be accessible, and so there are access and affordable programs to get them into that. And simple things, it's usually the ramp, it's the bathroom, and then it's the kitchen and the height of the cabinetry. It's kind of the three major pieces of the equation, and then door widths, depending on what kind of unit you're in. And a lot of landlords are very apt to allow that to happen because it actually improves the value of their rental in the future years, because it can be also then be advertised as an accessible unit. So it's done for not only homeowners, but also renters.
Senator, you're getting downright housing wonky with us.
Well, I'm finally, remember I had 20 plus years in the real estate business.
Yeah,
so I
know.
I'm here with someone on housing.
You're a housing guy, Secretary Sean Donovan, and Senator Mark Begich is our guest on Talk of Alaska as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. Go deep inside Alaska, where the unparalleled meets the unexpected. Fairbanks emanates a quality of light, energy, and warmth found nowhere else on Earth. It's the unexpected Alaska. Fairbanks, located right in your own backyard, is full of activities from the mild to the wild. Experience summer's land of a midnight sun in Fairbanks. Information about attractions, travel, accommodations, and more online at explorefairbanks.com. This message sponsored by the Fairbanks Convention and Visitors Bureau.
It's Talk of Alaska. Senator Mark Begich is with us, ready for your calls. Ketchikan Call is up next. And for a few more moments, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Sean Donovan is with us. He's well acquainted with urban housing problems and homelessness. And Secretary Donovan, what are we going to do about this homelessness?
Well, this has been a real tragedy in Anchorage. I understand that over the last 6 months, you've had eight folks have passed away living on the streets. And one of the important things that I'm doing today, I'm actually headed from the studio here to a roundtable meeting with all of the various folks in this community that have worked on homelessness. And a couple things that we've really learned over the last few years. First of all, that you heard the senator talk a little bit about healthcare and how there's a growing realization that preventive action can often be better for families, but also save money in the long term. We've learned exactly the same thing about homelessness, is that people 10 years ago that we didn't think could be housed, we now know that if we can bring together good, decent housing with the kind of services that they need, whether it's helping them take their medications, whether it's other kinds of counseling or services, not only can we see many of those folks return to the mainstream, be stably housed, we've had great success here in this community with long-term success, a year or more that folks remain stably housed, but at the same time what you see is that those folks no longer end up going to emergency rooms to get emergency care. They don't end up in prison as often. There was a famous story in a magazine a year ago called Million Dollar Murray about an individual in Reno, Nevada. And when they really started looking at it, what they realized is that this one gentleman, Murray, lived on the streets, had cost the state of Nevada $1 million over 3 years.
That's better than those welfare Cadillacs.
Well, but simply by investing in supportive housing, What they were able to do is bring down those costs dramatically. And I think that's exactly the kind of effort that, we've seen starting to come together here in Anchorage. The mayor's been a leader on this.
One program we have had some success with is intensive counseling for chronic inebriates, chronic public inebriates. But, of course, it's very expensive, and there's a great deal of backsliding that goes on, and it really takes somebody with the right touch to...
It does, but if you look at the best studies of this that have been done now, the counseling is expensive, but it's actually less expensive than the costs of not doing anything. Because what you end up with is those folks tend to end up, as I said, in emergency rooms, in prison on a regular basis. And this is a smart thing for the taxpayer, not just a better thing for those individuals. The other thing I would say, you know, we just finished our annual homeless count. And we work closely with the community here. One of the things that we have seen that has been a result of the economic crisis that we're going through is a more than 50% increase, a 56% increase in rural and suburban family homelessness. So even though we're actually making progress on chronic homelessness, and we've seen those numbers come down by 30% over the last few years, family homelessness is a growing issue. And so one of the things we did in the recovery bill, working with Senator Begich, is, and he really understands this stuff in his work as mayor and the smart ways to attack it, we're putting money into prevention. So we've got about $2 million that we've announced just in the last few weeks to the state of Alaska and to the city of Anchorage to allow us to prevent homelessness. And what does that mean? Well, oftentimes for a family that's living on a couch or on the edge of being evicted, the difference between them staying stably housed and ending up in a homeless shelter might be literally 1 month's rent, or it might be, if they're trying to get into an apartment, a security deposit. And a small investment like that can actually help them to be stably housed, much less expensive than a shelter or other alternative. So this $2 million investment in homelessness prevention through the Recovery Act, which is the first time the federal government's ever tried this, we're looking at examples like Anchorage, which is a real leader on this. They've been able to do this effectively, so we're investing in that, and we're hopefully going to see some great results in terms of helping families stay housed.
Secretary Donovan, underscoring that, one of our internet connections here, Peter, is saying, hoping that you will be aware that there is a tremendous in-migration of people who can no longer afford to live in rural Alaska, including whole families who are coming into the city, and he says there's an increasing need for low-income housing.
Absolutely. This investment that we're announcing today, these grants out of the recovery bill for the Native American tribes all across the country, including here in Alaska, is an important point. But we're also going to be meeting with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation that does a lot of tax credit and other investing. And we're trying to make sure that we're not just meeting the needs of Anchorage, but the whole state in terms of affordable housing.
And if I can add to that, I think the important thing about homelessness is the housing component. And I know we had an initiative here called Housing First, you know, that we did an enormous study and determined that, you know, if you want to change homelessness, you can have a lot of services and so forth, but housing is the critical component, first step. And so the $2 million that's coming to the state, which is, again, an innovative new approach by HUD and the federal government to kind of seed that moment where the person may just need that 1 month, is critical. Along with that, as you look at the whole system of homelessness, and this is the unique thing about having all the cabinet secretaries here, but also the way the Obama administration is approaching issues in general. For example, we know that wellness courts here, therapy courts, work very well. They're expensive. But the idea of ensuring that someone who may have a substance issue may also be homeless, if you can deal with all these issues in totality, the end result is the person will get on the right track. But if we just say we're going to build a house and that's it and house them, we know it's not going to be successful. So this new approach that HUD is doing, as well as the Obama administration, is a long-term benefit to us here in Alaska, and not just in the urban areas of Anchorage, but all throughout the area, which I think is going to be very powerful for us.
Secretary Donovan, I know you have to go to your roundtable there. We have a caller with a housing issue from Ketchikan, Bev. Bev, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you, and welcome, Secretary Donovan, and thank you for taking my call. We have a specific problem in Ketchikan in that FHA or HUD is the only lender who will not accept roof catchment cisterns. Close to 40% of our homes down here have they have to collect their own water and dispose of their own sewer. Ketchikan is a community of about 13,000 people. We're the fourth largest city in Alaska, and for some reason we're not sure why HUD will not accept a roof catchment cistern. We receive about 165 inches of rain here a year, so roof catchment does make sense. It has been used for generations, and we need your help in trying to get financing for homes that have such a problem. Well, it's not a problem to us, but it seems to be a problem for HUD. So can you perhaps explain why this is a problem for us?
Welcome to Alaska with our unique situations.
But this is, you know, Senator, this is exactly why we come.
That's right.
Is that too often, you know, things in Washington work that we, you know, we sit inside the Beltway in our offices as agencies, and we, you know, design things for the average place. Well, there's no average place in America.
Right.
There are lots of different kinds of places that have different kinds of housing needs. Bev, I'm glad you called. I had a meeting this morning where we talked about this very issue with folks here that said, our local staff who said, you know, we need some changes to FHA. That is why we come. That's why we travel with the senator, to make sure that we're hearing about local needs and local changes that we have to make that work for real people on the ground, not just in theory as we design programs. So that's exactly why four cabinet secretaries are coming, to see how we can work together to make changes to our programs to better serve them. So I'm glad you called today, and we will make sure, if we can get your information, your name and number, your full name and number from the station, we're happy to follow up and let you know the progress we're making on that.
Bev will be happy to do that.
That'd be great. And Bev, see how it works, that when we bring folks up here, Alaska lays their issue out, and we have some opportunity now. Thank you.
We very much appreciate it. We're in dire straits down here. We're having loans fail because they're not being approved because of roof catchment systems. We just had to install a brand new tank on a house with a completely bona fide and tested, positively tested system, and that wasn't acceptable. So we're crossing our fingers, waiting to hear if this new tank that is going to have hauled water in from the city, to see if that will be approved for the financing.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bev and Secretary Donovan. I know I have to say goodbye to you. So
it's great to be with you. And Senator, as always, you've proved to me once again why you're such a great leader for Alaska. Your knowledge about housing, the work that you did as Mayor of Anchorage, it's always a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to spending much of the next 2 days with you.
Thank you. So. Thank you, Secretary, for being here. And Alaskans, enjoy, because this goes statewide, this call-in. So we appreciate it. We'll see you in a little bit.
Yep.
All right. Take care. Yeah, the two of them are going to go out and demolish a building later on today. But right now, the secretary.
That reminds me of the old days as mayor.
I loved it. Yeah, I know you loved it. You get to put a hard hat on again.
They may not let me. I don't know.
Well, our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255. Senator Mark Begich is our guest. Secretary Donovan has left us, and let's go to Melanie. Joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Senator Begich. Melanie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I work in healthcare, and I work mostly with the geriatric population, but I don't work with the neighborhood health center directly. But I have some concerns about the new neighborhood health center that's being built or proposed to be built. I think it's great that all this money has come together that this actually can be built. It's very, very much needed. My concern is where it is being built. It is planned to be built on C Street and International, and one, that's not a neighborhood. They say it's central, but I don't think it's central to the population that is being served. A lot of the patients that go to the neighborhood health center don't have transportation. As you all know, public transportation here is really lacking, and certainly that is not an area where there's roads of transportation. It's not within walking distance to any neighborhood. And I know it's going to be something that's going to be there for decades, and I don't know if it's too late to reconsider, but I think it's a big mistake to be building a neighborhood health center in the middle of that area.
Yeah, let me give you my two bits on it. It's not really a Senate issue because it's a local government where they've located it. But let me, I know I've talked to them about that location. The original, you know, as you may or may not know, one of the thoughts was to put it over there closer to the Tudor complex of all the other medical facilities because there's a lot of overflow that would be easy to handle with the new facility there. But for some reason, the city decided not to make that available to the neighborhood health services. And now the location they have, my understanding is, and I may be wrong about this, but I'm pretty close, but my understanding is that the land came available. It worked for what they were doing. The development team that's part of that can make that project work. You know, I agree in one part that it's not next to a neighborhood, but I do, you know, think they're trying to figure out how to do it in a cost-effective way and deliver a better facility than what they have now, because the Fairview facility is just way undersized for the capacity of what they're dealing with today. But, you know, I really can't comment too much on where they're putting it, other than to say that I know what they're trying to do is achieve a much larger facility with more access and more capacity to handle the patients they have, because they're turning patients away now.
Well, I know that. I deal with the Medicare population, but I mean, I know they had a facility in Mountain View for a short period of time that I know was very, very busy, but they couldn't afford to keep two places open.
Right.
Yeah. Well, of course, Mark isn't the mayor anymore, so.
Right. I'm just wondering, do you know, I mean, is there a chance, is there somebody else that could, I mean, is there any way to put the, have them relook at this?
My bet is just based on the conversations I've had in the past on this with some of the folks related to this project, the likelihood is probably not, because they're too far down the course now, and they have such limited resources. They got to balance it very carefully in when they're going to develop. That's my understanding, but I may be wrong. But they have the zoning, they have everything in play, and they're designing it as we speak.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Melanie.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, quickly.
I just want to say, anything that you can do to make healthcare more available to anybody is greatly needed. And so I'm all for any kind of health plan that the feds can get put together.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Thank you. And if you wouldn't mind going to our website, too, because we have my presentation I gave yesterday. We have a lot of good information on there. I think you'll find very appealing to your view.
All right. Thank you very much. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, working shoulder to shoulder with Alaskan businesses for nearly a century. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And by Alaska Communication Systems, converging voice, video, internet, and data applications for business with data transfer speeds up to Gig E. ACS, connecting Alaska companies to each other and the rest of the world.
It's Talk of Alaska with, so far we've had Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Sean Donovan and Senator Mark Begich, who just left the building but is about to call back on his cell phone. And we have one of his staffers, Julie Haskett, his press secretary, is with us. Julie, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, we have your mic on now.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here. You know, I usually sit in the background here and just kind of listen and take notes and take pictures. So I just wanted to be available for you to talk for a few minutes while the senator gets in the car, because he is going to go with Secretary Donovan over to the housing roundtable in Mountain View, as previously discussed.
Right. And of course, it takes a little time to get there from here.
Yeah, but the senator's going to call in from his car. He's good at that. Someone's going to drive him, though. He won't be on his cell phone while he's driving. Somebody is driving him. Thanks for clearing that up.
Now, I have a question about yesterday.
Okay.
As you know, the tempers were flaring a little bit yesterday, and I would have to say that the senator was about the coolest of all the characters downtown. It didn't seem to bother him in the slightest that he was really being, you know, whaled at.
Well, he's kind of used to that. When you're the mayor and people are screaming at you about their pothole or dog parks or picking up the trash, you get very close to the people on a regular basis. Plus, Senator Begich just loves that back and forth with the constituents. But we just want to remind folks that one of the issues yesterday was that Senator Begich wasn't having a town hall on health care reform. Well, he's already had three town hall meetings on health care reform, and he's got a fourth one planned for September 26th in Fairbanks. So I think some of the folks were upset that they couldn't have a town hall right now, but please believe me when I tell you that we've had hundreds of folks, both in Juneau and in Anchorage, plus we had over 1,000 on the phone for a teletown hall we did. So we have gotten tons of information from Alaskans, both for health care reform and those who don't think we need any. So although there may not be a town hall meeting this week or next week, we're still taking information, letters, emails, phone calls, and we have had 3 town halls already with a 4th one planned.
All right.
So we've been engaged in this discussion since day one, and we'll not stop listening.
Let's check out our cell phone connection with the senator now.
How's that work?
It's working great. Thank you, Senator. Yeah, okay, here's another caller. This is from Palmer Wasilla, and Delise joins the program. Delise, welcome to Talk of Alaska with Senator Mark Begich.
Thank you, Senator.
I
have worked with the Cook Inlet tribes, and most particularly Chicklin Village, with when the NAHASDA grants first came out in 2000. And one of the issues that continues to appear at the Alaska Intertribal Council office where I work now is that tribes want the money directly. They don't want them going to the ANCSA regional housing authorities. If the tribes are building capacity, that little bit of administrative overhead is, you know, it means a job in a village, you
right.
know, and these ANCSA corporations are in Anchorage, and, you know, they have enough people to deal with, or, you know, housing needs, and I believe that the tribes, you know, it is about self-determination, and it is about government to government. And, you know, ANCSA regional corporations are state entities. And so, you know, the tribes rightfully deserve the money and the building capacity. And I would like to see what you and the senators in Congress can do about, you know, the lower 48 tribes get to say they want their money directly. And it should be the same with our tribes up here in Alaska. And I'd like to hear your comments off the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Delise.
Thank you very much for that call. That is, as I mentioned earlier, a couple of the programs that are now directly, we hope to be directly to the tribes because they're the closest to the people in the sense of a variety of the issues they're dealing with. And I know when it comes to housing or some of the road money and some of the other project money, that is now starting to be looked at of what's the right delivery system to get that money in the least cost, meaning admin cost or overhead cost, and delivered to a project. So her point is well taken. It's clearly for me is you know, on my shopping list of things that I'm very aware of. I know in the past the delegation hasn't been the most supportive of that. I think that's changing as we move into this kind of new arena of delivery. And, you know, Chicoloon and the tribes out there have done some incredible things around economic development and very positively had great success for their community. And I know there's several others. I know when I was mayor, I met with Acluna on a regular basis, and they're busy working to create a clinic within their community. And, you know, giving the money directly to them to build that is not a bad way to get it done and get it done more efficiently.
All right. Yeah, Delise has gone ahead and hung up, Senator, and we'll. But
okay.
we have another question on tribal matters from Shishmaref and Robert, Senator. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Robert.
Yeah, good afternoon or good morning, Senator Begich. I got a question as to the health care reform. You know, the Alaska Native has been receiving a free medical service for as long as I could remember. Exactly where are the Alaska Natives or the American Indian or the Alaska Natives going to be sitting with this health care reform?
Nothing will change in the sense of your delivery now. If anything, there's going to be more resources being appropriated to the system because, especially in Alaska, I think we have some model examples of how to deliver health care to our Alaska Native population. So it won't impact it in any negative way at all. If anything, it's going to add more resources and during the healthcare debate, I have used Alaska Native healthcare delivery systems as an example of how you can do it more efficiently and get better quality care. So the healthcare does not, the healthcare reform, insurance reform does not do negative impact at all Native Health Services. If anything, it's going to add more resources, more job training opportunities for people to work within the field.
Robert?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that idea. You know, it's just that the rest of the 49th or the other 48 states got to catch up with Alaska, in other words.
You're right.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Robert. Robert's right. I mean, we have, when we talk about, and I do, and I use some of the statistical data that I've gotten from the hospital here, of how many less people are going through the emergency room for their primary care because they're doing holistic medicine and not just taking care of someone who's sick with a headache or one issue. They're looking at the whole person, and that's making an impact in a positive way in making sure people have prevention and wellness programs. So we do have a model, and we brag about it wherever we can.
Senator Begich, I wanted to ask you, we're really running out of time here, but on the health care issue, are we going to see the Baucus bill pretty soon? It seems like you said in your speech, I don't think we're going to make the October deadline, but we don't know what the Senate has got yet.
Well, yeah, I'm part of that because we're waiting for the Baucus bill. But I think we may see something by the third week or fourth week of September in the sense of his legislation out of his committee, and then that's when the real debate and the issues start to materialize on where the conflicts are. So, but right now, I'm guessing third, fourth week of September when we get back from break. We'll see. Something will have to come out because every day that committee waits, they don't have a day then. Because once the bill is on the table, then the committee still has to do a lot of work as a full committee.
Well, let's go to Jim, joins program from Anchorage. Probably be the last caller here, Jim, for Senator Mark Begich. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my call, Steve. I was telling the guy that called me back, I'm a 66-year-old registered nurse. I've been with Providence for 19 years. I felt flu symptoms coming on Sunday evening. I attempted to be seen at a freestanding clinic rather than go to the emergency room. And, of course, they won't see me because I have Medicare. So I ended up not being treated in a timely fashion. I waited until my doctor was open on Monday morning, and I went and saw him. He is kind enough to accept my Medicare because I've been with him for a number of years. It seems to me that if these clinics or these other folks would accept the secondary insurance, which is provided by the hospital, that makes more sense than going to the emergency room, which costs everybody a fortune.
Okay, well, let's give him 30 seconds to answer this.
Okay, Jim, you're absolutely right. And that is one of the reasons why we have to have health care and health insurance reform. And it's what we're pushing for, one, to fix the Medicare gap where we make sure doctors are reimbursed properly.
Oh, I think we're losing the senator. Yep. There it went. What a great experiment. Senator Mark Begich leaving us by cell phone, and suddenly he's traveled out of range all the way up to Mountain View. Julie Haskett, thank you so much for being with us here.
Not a problem. I think the end of that sentence is he fully supports what Jim was saying. That is one of the areas that the senator has talked about, is allowing that other insurance to pick up the rest of it so folks can see the doctors and get the services that they need.
Well, I appreciate you coming in here and pinch hitting here for the Senate.
Not a problem. Thanks for having the whole gang on, Steve.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And once again, we've got a one-of-a-kind Talk of Alaska. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Senator Mark Begich was our guest, along with Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Sean Donovan, Gooseberry Peter at the controls, Chris Sharp on the phones, and Pat Yak as producer. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by BP, teaming up with Alaskans since statehood and together looking toward a bright future, and by Alaska Communication Systems. ACS offers high-capacity, high-speed bandwidth for business with speeds up to Gig E, connecting companies from the North Slope to Ketchikan to each other and the rest of the world. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.